Speaking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19 and the first part of verse 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and the first part of the ninth verse. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 9, the first part. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. The Lord dropped these words into my heart as I awoke yesterday morning, thinking of this service tonight and what precious words they are. And may the Lord give us a sweet measure of faith, each of us, to believe the Lord would grant this. In this solemn, dark day in which we live, like he did to Zacchaeus and to Zacchaeus' house. And it really softened me when the word dropped in from heaven that we might know the sweetness and sacredness of this word, each of us personally in the house under the roof of the skin, in our own hearts. And then it may be so, if it is the Lord's holy will, that he would fulfill this in each of our own houses where we dwell. And then it might be so among us here as a flock, and might be so in each hill of Zion. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. Well, let's look first of all, as helped, a little at the dear man and whom this was spoken to. Zacchaeus, as we read, was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, let us pause. The Lord knew where Zacchaeus was. There in that sycamore tree. The wonderful mercy is, isn't it, the Lord knows where each one of his dear children are. You see, this was a man that the Lord loved with an everlasting love. He knew where to find him. It wasn't by chance that we read that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He had to go there for this man, and maybe many others, but particularly for Zacchaeus. And the Lord knew that he would climb that sycamore tree, and he knew just where to find him. The hymn writer said, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God sought to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. And we find too in the case of Nathaniel, before that Philip called him, we read, don't we, the Lord saw him under the fig tree. He knew where he was. He knew where the dear woman of Samaria was as she went to that well, didn't he? And he knows where his dear children are today. And the day will come, like with Zacchaeus, when they will need this blessed salvation that's so spoken of in the text. Well, there he was in that tree. And what did Jesus do? When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He didn't need any man to tell him where Zacchaeus was. He looks up, and he looks right at Zacchaeus. We read, and he looked up and saw him. And you know, the Lord saw that dear man, and all that there was within his heart, and he saw he had need of salvation. And it was only the Saviour that could grant it. He was a sinner. And as the Lord looked up to him, that look went right into the heart of dear Zacchaeus. And what did it show him? What he was within. And all the sin there was. The all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us exactly as we are. We noticed it the other week in that beautiful hymn, how he sees us just as we are. As poor, needy, helpless sinners. Jesus saw him. The hymn writer spoke of this beautifully, didn't he? Saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not, withstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness. Oh, how great! What a mercy if we're among those that he looks to. And that he sees us, just as he did Zacchaeus. And then the Lord spoke to him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. You know, these are vital words. Make haste. You know, we need to make haste to make our calling and election sure. Why did he need to make haste? Because eternity was before him. It's before each one of us. Oh, that we may be given that grace to submit like Zacchaeus did, make haste and come down. He hadn't got to tarry. You know, it's a solemn thought, really. Yeah, we can be here 1 minute and the next minute in eternity. Oh, we can. This is why we need to make haste and to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. The hymn writer said, didn't he? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Ah, heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? When Jesus came to the place, it was God's appointed place. The hymn writer said, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace. This was the set time where the Lord was to work in this dear man. He'd lived among the publicans. He had got much riches. But you see, all that wouldn't get him to heaven. He was a poor, fallen sinner, just like we are. And so the Saviour looks up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I just want to tarry about this come down, because that's where we've all got to come. We've got to come down, and there's so much we've got to come down from. We've got to come down from all our pride. We've got to come down from all our self-righteousness. We've got to come down from all things of self, and come down from all the things of this world. You see, this dear man had got to come down to the feet of Jesus. It's like Legion, the mad Gadarene, how he had to come down from all those tombs and the hardness and rebelliousness and sinfulness there was in his heart. Oh, come down. And why did the Lord say to him, come down? He got to be brought where the old preachers used to say, are we low enough for Christ? You look at the difference, and it's often mentioned, between the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee had never been brought to come down. The publican had to come right down to this, where he had to say before the Lord, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee knew nothing of that prayer at all. He'd never come down, you see. And if we are like Zacchaeus and given the religion the Lord gave him, there's much we will have to come down from. There's no room for self. There's no room for natural religion. It's all got to come down. And the day's going to come where each of us have got to come down to the hour of death. We brought nothing into this world. The Word of God tells us, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And we've got to come right down to the hour of death and a vast eternity. Come down. It's a wonderful word, wasn't it, to Zacchaeus? He had to come down, and look how the Lord made him willing to. And we read, for today I must abide at thy house. Let's just tarry a moment on that. For today I must abide at thy house. The Lord was to abide in the house under the roof of the skin of Zacchaeus. That's first of all. We'll look at the other house in a moment. He was going to abide there. You know, if we are like Zacchaeus and blessed with the religion the Lord gave him, the Lord will abide in our hearts, in the house under the roof of the skin. He abides in the heart of each one of his dear children. And the Lord will give us, if we are his children, the desire that he would abide there. You take those blessed characters that journeyed to Emmaus. What did they say when they got to the to Emmaus? They said to him, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And they long for him to abide in their hearts. Do you know, and do I, anything of the abidings of the Lord in our hearts? He didn't say, perhaps I will abide there. It was very clear what he said to Zacchaeus. For today I must abide at thy house. I must abide there. There was no doubt about it. The Saviour had come into Jericho and he must abide in the heart first of all of this dear man. But then he was to abide in his house, where he dwelt. Oh, sweet abiding place when the Lord abides with us, isn't he? Some of us, I trust, have known, and we would say it with a tender, soft heart, where the Lord has been abiding with us. And that makes it a very sacred spot, it does. I always remember dear Mr. Reuben Mercer saying that he went to see a dear lady that had been in a lot of trouble and much affliction, and he got there and she was doing the washing up on a Monday morning. He said, I went to the house and there she was doing the washing up at the sink, and said the tears were running down her face. And he went in and inquired what she wept over. She said, well, I'm weeping for joy, because the Lord has so come and he's abiding with me. And you see, if he abides with us, we shall know what it is to be tender and humble before him. And she wept for joy. The dear man, I remember him telling me, he said, you know, I shall never forget that visit. He said, the savour of Christ in that house was blessed. And Zacchaeus was to experience it. You know, the work of God and the work of grace is a humbling work. There's no room for self or natural religion. All the sinner will want to be Christ and him crucified and risen on that glorious resurrection morn. And what do we find? He says, for today I must abide at thy house. And what was the response in the heart of Zacchaeus? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. First he made haste. Oh, what a mercy it is when we can make haste and flee to the dear Redeemer. He made haste and came down. Such was the working of the Lord in his soul. He comes away from all the things he'd been in as a publican, and all the corruption and all that had taken place there, and the Lord brings him out clean. And he made haste and came down. Such was the power of the Lord's voice, and such was the power of the work of grace that God had wrought in him. It had that gracious effect to bring him right down, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, the joy that was in the heart of Zacchaeus. That joy all flowed from the dear Redeemer. Oh, it did. And then, of course, we find Satan at work immediately. And what do we read? And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And you know, all those that said that didn't know anything of their sinnership at all. Otherwise they could have never said it. It was true, the Saviour had gone to abide with one that was a sinner. But it was a sinner that needed salvation. We know all the sinners in God's sight, the hymn writer said, but fewer sinners in their own. Here was a dear man that knew his sinnership. This is why he needed the salvation of the Lord. Those that said that Jesus had gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner, they didn't feel the need of salvation, did they? Oh, the many enemies there are of the truth. And Satan, you see, will soon be at work where the Lord's work is manifest. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Look how willing he was to part with all for the Lord. We read on the, and what a lesson it is, you know, we read on the day of Pentecost where they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They were so overwhelmed by the blessing of the Lord and his grace given to them, they would part with all. We sing in the hymn, don't we? And part with all. And follow him. And here he was willing to give everything up for Christ. He was the one thing, you see, that was needful to Zacchaeus now. And then look how honest he was. You know, some of the old preachers used to say in my early days, where God puts his grace in sinners' hearts, one of the first things he'll teach them is to be honest. The old proverb is so true, isn't it? Honesty is the best policy. And here the Lord made the dear man so honest, didn't he? Before the Lord. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Look how wonderfully the Lord had worked in this dear man. And how he made him willing, even if there was anything he'd taken by false accusation, he would restore it fourfold. May we see some of that today. Some of us that know things that many of you don't know, but may the Lord so work that this may be so. It is very blessed to see this in this dear man, you see. But I want to come briefly to the text. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. First of all, this dear man knew as he looked in his heart, there was nothing he could do to obtain salvation in and of himself. The salvation that he needed must flow from the dear Redeemer. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, don't we? There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby ye must be saved. And that is through the dear Lord Jesus himself. It's a beautiful word, isn't it, salvation? I've often said here, and I stand by it today, it means full and complete deliverance. We need salvation. And is it our soul's desire, like the psalmist? And I believe it will be in your heart and mine. It'll be our prayer. What the psalmist prayed, and it's a good prayer, you know. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Is that your prayer tonight and mine? Because if it is, poor soul, the day will come when the Lord will sweetly fulfill that, just as he did for Zacchaeus here. And he may even whisper these same words. This day is salvation come to this house. Now, what do we need salvation for? And what is the reality of this salvation? We need, and the word salvation in its simplicity, and there are many simple meanings of it, but one is to be saved from eternal destruction. You know, all we deserve because of our sin is eternal destruction. And we cannot save ourselves. The hymn writer said, myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep. But strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. And do we not need to be saved from our sin by an eternal salvation? And it's only the dear Lord Jesus that can save the poor sinner from all their sins. And he came to save. What do we read? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He says it here in the verse following the text. And here was a dear man as he goes up into that tree, a lost sinner. But oh, the Lord saved him by an eternal salvation. And it may be tonight you need the Lord to whisper this day. You know, you'd be the happiest soul when you throughout England or throughout the world if the Lord told you this tonight. And when he manifests his salvation to us, what flows from it? Sweet liberty. When he saves the poor sinner from their sins, they're free. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. You are not only free from the sin, but free from the condemnation of sin. All the sin put away at Calvary. Oh, that wondrous work of salvation. And do we not need that eternal salvation in our own souls? And it seems wonderful, really. Not only was salvation, we are not told of all who was in the house of Zacchaeus, but there's one thing that is certain. When Jesus said, and none could say it but he, this day is salvation, come to this house. All that were in it were to know that salvation. We're not told who there was, whether his wife was there or family or who, but there's one thing that's certain. And that is what Jesus said, this day is salvation, come to this house. We know, as I said earlier, it came to the heart of Zacchaeus, that heart, that house under the roof of the skin. But you think where he dwelt. And you know there are other sweet records, isn't there? You can go to Cornelius's house, and you look how the salvation came to that house. You can go to the house of the jailer in Philippi, and look how salvation came to that house. It all came through the dear Redeemer, the preaching of the gospel in the house of Cornelius, the Lord speaking through the apostle at Silas in the jail at Philippi, and salvation came to the house of the jailer. He was baptized and all his. Why? Because the Lord had. And if he manifests salvation, it's not only free you from all sin, poor soul, but he has so filled you with that love that brought salvation that your feet are just running his ways. You will make haste like Zacchaeus did. There are times, you know, where the king's business does require haste. There have been a few times where we've had those venture to follow the Lord, and people used to say, well, they should wait this time and wait that time. But if you look in God's word, we don't read that they had to wait. Why? Because it's so easy in waiting to lose the sweetness, the blessedness, the sacredness of it all. We know the Lord can overrule it. We know he can use it and sanctify it. But you see, they made haste. The king's business requireth haste. This day then is salvation come to this house. There's just two things I must just name before we leave it tonight. Much could be said. It's a profound text and many sermons could be preached from it. But two cases seem to rest upon me as we stand here. You go back into the Old Testament, the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They needed the salvation of the Lord. They needed him to completely deliver them from Pharaoh and all his house. And what did the Lord say to them? Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That full and free deliverance, complete deliverance. And you know, they stood still and saw it, didn't they? You think of those dear disciples, the mother of Christ, those godly women, as they witnessed the Saviour in all his agonies and sufferings, and they saw him bow his head and give up the ghost. They knew that great salvation. And they saw it. And on the resurrection morn, they saw the sweet fulfillment of it. And the children of Israel just looked on and saw the wonders of salvation in delivering them from all the onslaughts of Pharaoh. And they saw the enemy dead on the seashore. And then you think of dear Jonah in the fish's belly. There in the depths of the sea. He couldn't save himself, could he? No man could save him. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Thou must save and thou alone. And what did Jonah sweetly experience? This day is salvation come to this house. And what did the Lord do? He looked to the dear Redeemer. This is where Zacchaeus had to look. This is where the poor sinner, your poor heart and mine, will have to look alone to the dear Redeemer. Why, there's your salvation, poor son. And he looked, and what did the Lord do? The Lord caused the fish to vomit out Jonah on dry land. But what did Jonah say? Salvation is of the Lord. Beautiful words, aren't they? Dear Mr. Labour, and I've said it before, said once, he said it's the best sermon that was ever preached. When Jonah came up out of that fish's belly, salvation is of the Lord. He proved it, hadn't he? Well, may the Lord sweetly, I've only scratched around the surface of this tonight, but it's a profound and blessed word, you know. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly soften your heart and mine like he did yesterday morning and gave me a little faith to believe in my own soul. And in the souls of those we try and bear up at the throne of grace, he would fulfil this, and may it be so among us as a flock. And if it's the Lord's will throughout Zion, this day, oh this day, the Lord granted it to the dying thief, didn't he? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, he proved, didn't he? That dear man, that salvation is of the Lord. This day is salvation come to this house. Full, complete deliverance. Saved from all sin. Oh, may the Lord tell you and me this tonight. And then we could sing the blessed song of praise to God, couldn't we? Because he's worthy of it. Salvation. Oh, my soul. And oh, may we know it personally. Amen.